People not working in the UK due to long-term sickness has risen to a record high of more than 2.5 million. Poor mental health and back and neck pain are among the main reasons for the increase. Vodafone is cutting more than one-tenth of its workforce worldwide because of the firm's poor performance. The company behind ChatGPT has admitted that the artificial intelligence bot could threaten jobs, but could also help solve climate change and cancer. Two men who supplied falsified passports to some of the UK's most wanted criminals have been handed jail terms of 6 and 8 years. Rishi Sunak has said 45,000 seasonal visas will again be allocated to the agriculture sector next year, with another 10,000 available if needed. BBC News.
With Jane Steele. There's a unique take on a classic Cornish tale, The Mousel Cat, in just a moment. Dawn French and Edward Rowe head up Was on Cornwall. That's next.
BBC Sounds. Need more than 90 minutes?
Hello and welcome to Football Daily.
Can't get enough cricket chat?
Welcome to Tailenders. My name is Greg James. This is a cricket podcast for the cricketing curious.
Fascinated by sport's dark side?
An improbable lo-fi crime nearly brought Formula One to its knees. This is sport's strangest crimes.
It's more than just a game. With sports podcasts like Football Daily, Tailenders, and Sport's Strangest Crimes. Listen on BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, for the final time this series, we head to beautiful Ferrol, Cornwall, and join Dawn French and the team for some sketches. It's recorded in front of an audience at the Acorn Theatre, Penzance. This is Was on Cornwall.
La 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 la.
Ah, Cornwall, windswept beauty, where the land meets the sea. And the sea is bloody freezing. Land of converted sail lofts, full of artists and artisans, and converted chapels, full of piss artists and piss artisans. So join me, Dawn French, as we explore this magical county that's as picturesque as it is horribly deprived. This is Was on Cornwall.
La, 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 la.
Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm LJ. And this week,
we're working on the reception at Newquay Cider Farm.
It's an organic cider farm, which means all these apples on this farm have had a good life and have been treated well. I think they've been sung little songs and stuff. I'm going to DJ to them later. I'm being serious. Anyway, this week we're looking after this cider farm reception just in case any of the apples need to send an email or anything, I guess. Oh, God, here comes some Emmett tourists now.
Hi, we'd like 2 tickets, please.
So you've come to see the apples, have you?
LJ, shh!
It's not my fault they've not seen an apple before.
We've seen apples before, we just want to see these ones.
I think everyone who comes here is an alcoholic. Got to be.
LJ, stop.
Well, are you?
Excuse me?
Are you an alcoholic?
No.
Say it again.
No.
Knew it. You're honking worse than a substitute teacher and a mug in Nescafe.
We'd really just like 2 tickets to the cider farm.
That's exactly what one of your lot would say. So sad.
Can we just have the tickets, please?
Unfortunately, we can't let anyone under the influence in.
This is ridiculous.
Say ridiculous again.
Ridiculous.
Again.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely smashed. So sad.
So tragic. We'll have to turn you away on this occasion.
Fine.
Pathetic.
Number of visitors currently in Cider Farm?
0.
Total number of visitors to Cider Farm?
0.
High five.
Yes.
Hearken to me now as I tell you a tale of bygone land of mystery, guarded by the grey seas and the granite cliffs, an oft-overlooked place we know as Cornwall, whose people are known throughout...
Darling, can I stop you there?
Everything all right?
It's wonderful, darling, but you veered a little towards Bristol.
I have, haven't I?
It's terribly easy to do. It's not your fault at all. Let's try that again.
Hearken to me now as I tell you a tale of bygone land of mystery guarded by the grey seas.
That's more Dorset. The Cornish accent's just a little more thoughtful, contemplative, perhaps a hint of menace.
I'm so sorry. I nailed this in rehearsal. You know, I don't like to boast, but I was in Poldark and Doc Martin.
It's absolutely fine. I'll tell you what, just take a deep breath. Centre yourself. Then I want you to think mackerel. I want you to think windswept cliffs, fishing boats, Rickstein pirates, ruined engine houses, expensive car parks, Caroline Quentin walking through a picturesque little fishing village, a dozen Ricksteins hopping from rock to rock, their beaks crammed with fish, drone shots of the waves crashing against the harbour walls, hundreds of Caroline Quentins eating ice creams while an entire flock of Ricksteins circle overhead staring at her with their beady eyes. Run, Caroline Quentins! Run for your lives! Go!
Bargain to me now, as I tell you, the Lord of Paradise, sir.
Nailed it!
Are you one of thousands of Cornish residents who can't get an NHS dentist? Well, now you can get your teeth fixed cheaply by a team who know all about working in small, dark spaces with sharp tools. Cornwall's ex-tin miners. Here at Tin Teeth, we have loads of ex-miners bored out of their skulls and desperate to get inside yours.
When I lost me job down the mines, I thought I was done for. Until Tin Teeth got in touch. I didn't even have to retrain, just bring me own pickaxe.
Cornwall's miners were rightly upset when they were thrown on the scrap heap 30 years ago. But now they're itching to take out all that frustration on your teeth. Ask Sharon from St. Just.
It was so easy. I just climbed 2,000 feet down a rickety ladder to meet Neil. He used the light on his helmet to inspect my mouth before packing my gums with explosives. Now my tooth pain is gone. And so is all my teeth.
Tin Teeth's miners have access to all the state-of-the-art dental equipment to ensure a comfortable, pain-free experience.
So now I'm just going to give you a little gas. Oh, yep, the canary's dead. So that was probably too much. Run!
For Tin Teeth today, because even though Cornwall's public services are rotten and decaying, it doesn't mean your teeth should be.
Dear Mrs. Clack, Celia here. I'm writing from our holiday let in Portreath for coming home next week. I've not yet bought you the top three Cornish lighthouses tea towel as promised, but I've not been myself. I best explain. Since Fred has found a games cupboard here and taken up Sudoku, I feel safe here indoors. Nothing silly can possibly happen, I thought, and then the telephone rang. I'll get it, Fred. Hello?
Good morning. Are you the homeowner?
I told a little lie, Mrs. Clack. I was bored. Yes!
Have you considered a new window system?
What's that?
Double glazing.
That does sound like fun, but I'd have to ask Fred first.
Your husband?
And that's when I told another fib, Mrs. Clack. No, Fred's not my husband. He's my lodger. But he's busy at the moment with Sudoku. He's got two nines on the same line, and that can't be right. It's like living in a nightmare.
Shall I call back at a more convenient time?
Why, yes. Who shall I say called?
I'm Richard. Richard Willycock.
Oh, goodbye. And I put down the telephone. I thought no more of it. The next day, I busied myself with spring cleaning. But something was bothering me, and for the life of me, I couldn't place it.
Darling, you nearly finished. What else do you need to clean?
Oh, not much really, Fred, just the windows. The windows! Only Richard hadn't called back. He'd never call back. I'd been so very silly. I had a blackness in my mind and a ringing in my ears. And then I realised the ringing wasn't in my ears. It was the telephone. He'd called back.
Darling, I called back.
Richard, no!
I love you.
Please don't.
I'm going to come round and replace all your windows.
No.
We can elope through one of them.
But I'm already married.
We can live on a houseboat and not polish your poor dolls.
Richard.
And the wedding bells will ring out. Ring, ring.
Ring, ring.
Ring, ring.
Ring, ring.
Are you going to get that?
I don't understand.
I said, are you going to get that, or are you going to stand there with your eyes closed and let it carry on ringing all morning?
Suddenly I realised I hadn't answered the telephone at all. And then it was too late. Fred got there first.
Hello? New windows? Sorry, this is a holiday let. Goodbye.
And Richard was gone. Fred went back to playing Scrabble on his own. I wanted to join in and make it look less pathetic, but I was so terribly weary. Oh, Fred, as you file an old threepenny bit to make a propeller for your scale model dreadnought, while struggling to compile a six-letter word from N, K, E, R and two blanks, I realised it never would have worked with Richard and I, and so I vowed never to answer the telephone again. Better go and get the dinner on now, Mrs. Clack. We're having swan on toast. I do hope your piles have cleared up. Goodbye.
Right, Anna?
Right, Manson?
What rubbish are you selling on the market today, then?
Well, I have some beach rocks with Cornish words written on them in a Celtic font. Those are for sitting by the front door.
Oh, proper jobby, Emmett. Tourists will love those.
Yeah. You?
Well, I'm selling wrapped-up twigs from me garden with ribbons on them. They're called Cornish shakers. The ancient Cornish used them to ward off evil spirits before bed.
Is that true?
Is it bollocks? I made them last night whilst on the bog. Here, hold up, you've got a customer.
Morning, darlings. Don't these stones look divine? There's something so gorgeous and rustic about them.
Well, they don't come more rustic than a beach rock, do they?
And are they handmade in Cornwall?
Yes, my love. Handmade by my own thick Cornish hands. They even have the authentic made in Cornwall stamped on the back there.
Oh, how divine. And this one with the words Tai Waki written on it. What does that mean?
Well, it's pronounced Tiwaki. It means live your life by the sea breeze.
It means all that. I will take it. So how much do I owe you?
That one, that's £300, my answer.
£300?
They are authentically made in Cornwall. Would you like it wrapped in handmade Cornish paper?
Oh, yes, please. There's just something so beautiful about that word. Tiwaki. It rolls off the tongue. Tiwaki. Sorry, Tiwoki.
There you go, my lover. You take care now. And please tell all your rich, stupid friends.
I'll definitely spread the word. Tiwaki.
So, what exactly did that rock say?
You idiot.
And the handmade wrapping paper?
Authentic Cornish loo roll from the cafe across the street.
Well, the votes are finally counted and the leadership contest is over. And here we are once again outside Downing Street. In the 17th reshuffle of recent months, history is made as outlier Belinda Pengelly has been named as our new Prime Minister, the first ever Cornish PM.
Ms. Pengelly, the Education Reform Bill, we've been waiting for the legislation to pass. Can you say when this will happen?
Well, thank you for your question, and I'm happy to confirm that we're doing everything in our power to get the Reform Bill passed.
But when will this actually happen?
Well, all things considered, it will definitely be happening directly.
Will you be abolishing the House of Lords?
A discussion about the House of Lords will be held as soon as I can collate the finding of the Select Committee.
Which will be when?
Directly.
And your formal response to the NHS pay rise proposal?
Ah, now, yes, thank you. We do intend to have that sorted the minute we've sat down with the board.
So that'll be...
Directly. Although we will, of course, endeavour to have it sooner than that.
Which will be when?
Directly. Thank you.
So, a new Cornish Prime Minister and one who appears determined to get things done quicker than any other Prime Minister in recent history. We'll be back on air directly.
Welcome to Cur Now and Then, the show that digs up Cornish history with me, Patrick St. Petrock. And putting the past in pasty is our proud historian, Trapolpen Pentrapol.
What's on, my boy? Here, Patrick, do you want to come with me back in time on an incredible journey to the Cornish origins of everything? I thought we'd start with me name.
Trapolpen Pentrapol. Sounds familiar.
They say, by trade, Paul and Pen, shall ye know all Cornish men. And me mum called me all three.
A lot of great Cornish place names start with trade, Paul and Pen. Trelisk, Polpero, Penzance.
Treadmills, polyester, pencil sharpeners.
I don't think those are Cornish.
Of course they are. All words beginning trait, pole and pen are Cornish. Treadmills, for example, they go back to 1860 when Sir Denzel Treadmill were first to run on the spot with a traction engine and a bit of rubber. Cornish history, isn't it?
Well, no, I think you'll find tray is a prefix. Tray, pole and pen. Well, what about pole then? Cornish for pond is there in Cornish place names like Polzeth or Polgooth?
Or North Pole, South Pole, Poland, all Cornish, pole dog.
Yes, now that is Cornish.
Pole dancing.
That's not Cornish. Well, before you start, pen is Cornish for headland. It's just another prefix.
You're a prefix.
It's a prefix for names like Penryn, Penwithick. Susan Penalligan.
Lady Penelope, good Cornish woman. Thunderbirds are go, me handsome. There's Cornish's penny pasta, penguins, penthouses, and penises.
Enough. You're just crowbarring your name into this conversation. Trepulpin, which happens to be the name of your book and podcast.
Podcast, Cornish.
You're just a big chancer, trying to promote your wares, and what sort of name is Trepulpin Pentrepol?
Tis my pen name. Ooh, pen name's Cornish.
Thank you, Trepulpin.
Truth is, me name's Keith. Nice penetrating stare you got there. Proper Cornish, that is.
Good evening. I'm your host, Linda Handy, and welcome to another episode of Cornish Place Name or Sex Position. It's the quiz show that tests whether you know your skimpy bottom from your St. Michael's Mount. Let's meet the first contestant.
Hi, I'm Jack. I grew up in Crackenton-Avon, and last month I sprained a muscle in my lower back attempting the Edgecombe Corner.
Ouch. Let's meet our second contestant.
Hi, I'm Megan. I recently moved to Blowing House. And me and my husband love going down to Lady Cross Cove, if you know what I mean.
We do know what you mean, because that's a sex position. Now, Jack, I'm going to show you three options. Remember, two of these are real Cornish place names, and one is a sex position. We've got Lusty Glaze, Penny Come Quick, Venton Gimps. What are you thinking, Jack, bearing in mind that this is a family show?
Well, Lusty Glaze is in Newquay, and I've seen Penny Come Quick.
Jack.
On a road sign, but there's no way Venton Gimps is a real place.
I'm sorry, Jack. The answer was Penny Come Quick, which is a place, but it's in Devon. Whereas in Cornwall, and remember this is a family show, Penny Come Quick is what we call it when someone called Penny has a...
Oh!
When she sits on a... with the jam first. Now it's your turn, Megan, but please remember, family show. Playing Place. Nanjizzle Beach. Granny's Bush.
Ooh, that's a hard one.
Family show, Megan.
I think it's Granny's Bush.
Congratulations, Megan. You are today's winner, and we've got two fabulous prizes for you to pick from. Would you like this baseball cap that says, I've been up Anthony Passage, brackets, it's the name of a village, or... would you like this big vibrator?
I'm tempted by the vibrator.
Of course you are. That's it for tonight's family-friendly episode of Cornish Place Name or Sex Position. Until next week, when we'll be coming from Cox. Which is a hamlet just outside of Perranporth.
I'll Tell You What with Reg Keast is proudly sponsored by Terry's Terrific Terrariums of Truro. A jungle in a jar? Whatever next?
Hello, caller. You're through to Reg Keith, the host whose fingers are so green he wears mittens so as not to scare the children.
Bit weird. Hi, Reg. Hi, Jan. I'm Ophelia, loving the show.
You just popped life on air, Reg.
I'm 82, and 'tis perfectly natural. Anyway, you let rip at the Arvis Festival.
Sorry, Ophelia. What's your question, my love?
Okay, can one ever have too many houseplants?
Most certainly one can. 'Twas a time when a maidenhair fern and a streptocarpus would see right through, but now some folks pay hundreds of pounds for variegated monstera leaf node. People get addicted. Dogs not walked. Children not fed. Loan sharks knocking. Pandemonium. Hiccups live on air. You're a liability, woman. Hold your breath.
I've about 200 houseplants, and I hope for 200 more. It's like living in my own little jungle.
Precisely. This is a collecting addiction. No different than horse brasses or teaspoons of the world.
Horse brasses don't improve hair quality.
Jan, remember Jeff, who used to live in the village? He had it bad with the brasses. And promising his missus no more but smuggling them in. The amount of time she opened the front door to kick them out, they must have had beautiful air quality. What on earth was that?
Sorry, I was trying to scare Jan out of her hiccups, but perhaps it doesn't work over the phone. Anyway, I'll agree to disagree with you, Reg. Goodbye, Jan. Sorry if I scared you. Or didn't scare you.
No bother, my beauty. Thanks for calling. I think that actually worked. And yes, I remember Jeff with the horse brasses. His wife didn't kick him out because of them, though. He was having it off with her sister.
Oh, I see. What became of him?
I can't be sure. He either died or moved to St. Just.
Well, I hope he's found happiness either way.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Trevor Thomas, manager here at Pengo Bill's flagship Elugan store. We strive to bring you the very best quality items at car boot prices. It's so cheap here, even the chicks at our newly opened zoo are shouting about it.
Cheap, 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 cheap.
Let's see what crazy deals we've got for you in store this week. Over to you, Steve.
Steve here from the booty counter. Freshen up your sponge bag with the latest spring colors. We got corn snake yellow, fungus beige, and the ever popular live lobster blue.
All I've got left to say is come on down, soak up the view from our renowned Pengo turrets. Our store's famous castle frontage is a Luggan's answer to Disneyland. Just come on down, please.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay, class, settle down, settle down. Off your phones. Ready for today's enrichment activity. Please welcome back from the St. Goran Oral History Society, Mrs. Kerry Curnow.
Oh, no way.
Oh, thank you.
Kerry is going to talk to us about the meaning behind some of our most enduring Cornish myths and legends.
So, today, I'm going to be telling you all about the legend of the Mousel Cat. It's about a cat called Mouser and his owner, an old fisherman called Tom Bawcock.
I apologise, they're being childish because of the old fisherman's name.
Tom? Well, I suppose that is quite a funny name, yes. It is funny, Tom.
It's the surname they're laughing at.
Bawcock. 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 No. No, I'm not getting it, sorry. Anyway, one very stormy winter, the bad weather meant that none of the fishermen in Mousel were able to leave the harbour for many weeks, and the village was near starvation. 'Twas coming on Christmas, and there was not a fish to be had.
Couldn't they just eat turkey crown instead?
No, there's no turkey, thank you, Marie Antoinette. There was a food shortage, see? Anyway, back to the story. Our hero,
elderly fisherman Tom Balcock. Oh, Balcock. I get it now. Like cock and balls.
That is funny, actually, isn't it?
Actually, now you're spoiling that.
I'm not the one with the toilet brain. That's on you lot. So, on Christmas Eve, Tom Balcock and his loyal cat, Mouser, set sail to get fish for the village. Mouser sat up in the bow when suddenly the storm blows up and the crashing waves make a shape like a giant storm cat clawing at the boat. Meow! Meow!
Are you all right, Mrs. Kerner?
Yes, thank you. I was just in the moment. The storm cat appears and something magical occurreth. Mouser starts purring and singing in cat language.
So I think she's got Ebola.
Meow! Mouser soothes the storm cat and Tom is able to haul in his fishy load. When Tom and Mouser get back to the harbour, the entire catch is cooked into 100 delicious stargazy pies. I expect everyone knows what a stargazy pie is.
It's a pie mess.
Not really. It's more of a pie with huge great fish heads poking out, their dead googly eyes staring up to the stars like big zombies.
Sounds disgusting.
Well, the villagers weren't so fussy. The whole of Mousel feasted, and Tom Balcock and Mouser were heroes. So, Merry Christmas, one and all, and oh, ho, 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 ho.
Well, I'm afraid that's the last of our enrichment sessions with Mrs. Kerno. And to say thank you, we clubbed together and got you this.
Oh, thank you. Oh, what's this inside here? Is that a scented candle? I can smell
it. It's deodorant.
Right, I'll leave you with a well-known Cornish saying, which is, he who smelt it, dealt it.
Yo, I'm Sylvanus.
And I'm Johan.
We decided to put a new twist on a very old tradition.
There are 402,000 male voice choirs in Cornwall, and they love singing the same songs over and over and over again. So we thought we'd join Madron Male Voice Choir and give them a shake-up.
We've given some of the boys here some gangster rap names. This here is Ice Cubert.
What's on?
And this here is Menhem Eminemiot.
Get on.
Right, here we go. 2, 3.
As I walk through the streets of Weybridge, 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 I felt like I was in Knightsbridge, Knightsbridge, Knightsbridge. The guns and the drugs and the women all slap, but I won't get caught in a honey trap. Weybridge, yeah. Weybridge, yeah, yeah, yeah. Me and my homies are Weybridge.
Was on Cornwall starred Kieran Clarke, Anna Curl, Tamsin Kelly, Joe Neary, Edward Rowe, and me, Dawn French. It was written by James Henry, Morwenna Banks, Catherine Beasley, Max Davis, Gareth Edwards, Jane Harvey, Elliot James, Tamsin Kelly, Paul Carenza, Joe Neary, Edward Rowe, and Alex Smith. The script editor was James Henry. The music was by The Jolly Strumpets, and the producer was Simon Nichols. It was a Mighty Bunny production for BBC Radio 4. Cheers and gone.
So that's bye for now to the Was On Cornwall team, but you can hear all four episodes anytime via the BBC Sounds app. After the news, there's a dilemma for Neil.
Taking issue with Shakespeare.
The aim of this series is to put a different light on some contemporary problems. What was Shakespeare thinking about these similar issues 400 years ago?
Professor Emma Smith and guests investigate.
I know you're very interested in this idea of Hamlet and the incel.
From a very different perspective, Shakespeare can help us look at issues we think of as very contemporary differently.
Shakespeare sort of grapples with these questions of the qualities that make a good monarch.
Taking Issue with Shakespeare. Next Monday to Friday afternoon at 1:45 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. The National Farmers Union has described the Prime Minister's first food security meeting at Downing Street as very positive. The session brought together supermarket executives, producers and manufacturers. Customers have faced some shortages of items including fruit and vegetables in recent months, but the NFU said people should feel assured that retailers were doing what they could to offer a wide variety of British food. The managing director of the dairy firm Arla Foods UK, Ashmir Ahmadi, warned shopping bills would remain high.
One of the things that we have to face into is that we're in a different, global environment. It's not just a UK problem or a dairy problem. You know, we've got conflict in lots of parts of the world that's been reported, and that's disrupting the flow of the ingredients, making things more expensive, and therefore I suspect when we fully come out of this, prices will be higher than they were before.
A gang who supplied falsified passports to some of the UK's most wanted criminals have been jailed. The scam involved fugitives paying up to £20,000 for the documents, which included one man, 61-year-old Anthony Beard, getting vulnerable people to hand over their expired passports so he could apply for renewals using the criminals' photos. The company behind the artificial intelligence tool ChatGPT has told a US Congress committee the sector needs state regulation. Sam Altman, the chief executive of OpenAI, warned that the technology could be beneficial but also has serious risks. Bird flu has been detected in two poultry workers. The UK Health Security Agency said there was no sign of human-to-human transmission and the two people had since tested negative.